Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
All right, welcome to the Av Podcast, where I'm joined by the family here, the South Shore Ave family. Let me give you the quick introductions. We got in the right corner, we got Julian, aka Jules the Commish. He's got the Joel Ward jersey in the background. Shout out to Joel. He's in the playoffs now, isn't he? Are they up?
Yeah,
they're up 2-0?
No. So yeah, they're in the playoffs. They lost us the game two. So they're going into game three tomorrow night. So
yeah, we got to speed up this timeline for him to be the first black NHL coach.
We
got to speed up the timeline. Yes, sir.
Hopefully within our lifetime, man.
Hey, salute to that man. Hey, salute to him, man.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, man. We gotta keep the faith on that. Next up, we got a proud light-skinned delegation. We'll get into that in a moment. Mr. CEO of or COO of Team Lightskin, and the founder of Red Rush Ontario's basketball program, Mr. Randall Walter, aka Coach Rand, aka Team Lightskin. How you doing today, sir?
You're supposed to get the titles right, man. It's not team, it's president.
Oh, my bad.
Lightskin? Wow.
Yeah, it's like Obama, you know what I mean? You gotta get the titles right, man.
My bad. Sorry. Let me change. You gotta give me new business cards. You gotta do that for me.
We back at it. I'm blessed to have these gentlemen with me. Last take was just me, and I got a lot of heat for that, man. People are coming at my neck and texting me after that pod. So, you know, hopefully I could get these nice gentlemen to back me up.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's all good though. Let them come after you, man. It's all good. You can defend yourself. It's no problem there.
Yeah.
Last but not least, I got my former teammate from Rye High, aka Ryerson University, and he is a two-time Hall of Famer of that school. Please welcome Mr. Jan Michael Nation, aka Namaste. How you doing today, sir?
Oh wow! I knew you were gonna say something. I was waiting. Each time you always, don't worry. I can't wait to see you in person. Thank you for having me once again. I'm very appreciative of this moment. Get to meet these young men and talk ball, man.
Yeah,
talk
man.
The game I love.
Yeah, man, 100%. And I mean, we're here for the Raptors right now because they pulled it off tonight, winning. I don't even have the score in front of me, but they won pretty handily tonight over the Cavaliers. They got that hometown cooking, that home crowd feeding off that energy. Scotty Barnes, CMB, Barrett, all going crazy tonight. What's your thoughts on this game? And I'll start with you, Jan, first.
You know, coming off of the first two games that they lost in Cleveland, this is a good way to get the set the tone, to let them know that we're coming for game four to try even things out. But I'm impressed. It's a good start right now. I was a little concerned because I thought their half-court offense wasn't sufficient enough, conducive for success over a long period of time. And it looks like today got some home cooking. The referees were pretty hard in the first half, but things started to turn for the better in the second half. So this was a good win, nonetheless.
Yeah, very, very good win. I'm going to ask you that question, Randall. Hold that thought. Julian, go next.
You know what? I liked how they played well in the first and fourth quarters. It was important to come off hot, like to use the crowd, to use the energy, and they did. So I was looking for that in the first quarter. And I was mildly surprised how well they played in the fourth quarter, because it was like tied going into the fourth, and I was like, here we go again. Like, you know, we had the lead for most of the game and we're going to lose it. And I was surprised and actually excited to see them play well. The bench played well. The key players outside of, I'm sure we're going to talk about Ingram, but the key players like Barrett and Barnes played well with bench support, all in the fourth quarter at the crucial moments. So for me, seeing that, that like gave me a little bit of hope that they can actually do that again in game four or game five. But to me, winning the first and fourth quarters was key to give me that kind of hope that they can win another possible game Game four. So it was great to see those quarters being won.
Yeah, 100%. Randall, hold your thought for a second. I'm going to ask you a separate question. I was going to wait to ask you, but I'm gonna, you know where I'm getting to. I have this written down. I want to read this verbatim. Where does Battle rank in the Light Skin Coalition? Does he get a bonus?
Oh, wow.
That was the question you're going to ask me?
Well, that's the question I was going to ask you now. Yeah, man, that boy went off. I figured he was tearing up your house.
Well, there's a difference between mixed and light skin. You know that, right?
So,
you know what I mean? I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but I'll take him. You know what I mean?
Light skin family, man. Let's go.
You know,
what a win.
He showed out. I mean, four threes in a row. I mean, that's what we needed. But, you know, forget about him. Like going with what to Jan said, and that's key, right? Julian mentioned some stuff that I mentioned last podcast. It was a do or die game. They had to win this. They came out and they did it. I talked about it last pod about using the energy of, you know, home court advantage, cooked food in Toronto. You know what it is. But I don't, this is fool's gold to me because Jan, you hit it. There was nothing that, you know, the strategy was the same for most of the games. The difference is they just hit shots. They didn't know how. It was just iso ball. It was matchups, right? All they were doing is running get actions and getting switches and going at the switches. That's not sustainable for a four-game series. Yeah. They're still running that high pick and roll stuff that I don't think is working. It's something. It's one thing to run it sporadically. It's another thing to utilize that as your main offense, right? There was no off ball cuts. There was no new schemes. It was just driving. The key difference is they were making the shots that they're missing in the other two games, right? And that they trusted to put fresh legs in that ended up hitting shots. That's not sustainable. There was nothing magical about that win other than they came out with hunger and energy. That is not sustainable basketball. It still scares me. And the only other thing I will say is that Darko did a better job at substitutions because this was a do or die game. And he put in the people that were hot and he put in the right matchups at the right times. There were times in the third that I was getting scared, like Julian, you said. I did get scared when Barrett was sitting for a while and Barnes was in foul trouble. He was Ingram on the court. And I was like, oh, shit, this is not going to go well. But, you know, in the long run, you know, they both came back in at the right time, and you saw it right away, right? It went back to work, so.
I feel like this is the heart game. Like, this is the game that was full of heart. Like, from the first quarter and the fourth quarter, the Raptors won that by 43-23 count, which is great. I mean, the Raptors scoring 43 points in a playoff game is, man, that's beyond what we were expecting. But that was a hard game, man, because, I mean, I was mentioning this too on the last pod that, like, they will feed off this crowd. Toronto's, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, they have one of the best playoff crowds that you'll see in any sport. You know what I mean? Like, but especially you see it a lot when you go to Raptors games, you see it, you feel it. Like, you feel that presence, man. And I figured guys like Scotty Barnes, because, I mean, Scotty Barnes is he's our best player, and he's, you know, he's skilled, but he plays with a lot of energy. You know what I mean? So when you have that energy off that crowd that you can feed off of, it works wonders for somebody like him. And I figured a guy like CMB would go off. Even Barrett, too, because Barrett plays with a lot of heart. You know, and I always say I give it to Barrett, man, because His elite skill, I keep saying, is he gets to the line. He gets people in foul trouble. It's an elite skill that he has, man. Like, it's actually impressive. Like I said, for somebody who's not a superstar, he gets a lot of calls, but it's earned. It's earned.
He plays physical. He looks for contact. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, which you love.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing. Coach, I think the playoffs, you're going to see who's real, who's not. People are going to get exposed, but coaches get exposed as well. We see what adjustments are going to be made. We're going to see. Okay, so today you said was a heart game, a lot of emotion because this is the first home game, game three. They need to win this game. Yeah. All or nothing. This is like a do or die game, really, if they had a chance for the rest of the series, right? Now we're going to see what adjustments are going to be made. I feel the regular season is to set you up for playoff proceeding and all the momentum and the matchups, right? But at the same time, you have to make adjustments. You said strong side offense, weak side offense. I just see stagnation. If their best offense, I think truly, is their defense. Getting that stop and running it down their opponent's throat and then hopefully getting to the line. Having Ingram as your bailout all the time is not conducive for success. Yeah. And I just like you're not going to beat the better teams. And like, you know, like I think this matchup is better than the New York one, you know? So I still think they could, this could go a long series.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I've said what I said about Ingram, you know, the last couple of pods retaining to the Raptors. But the one thing that I think Darko's got to get some blame on that, too, and just how to set up some offense for him to get the ball easier. Like, mm-hmm. The way he was, I just didn't like any action that he had trying to get to the basket.
He's such a talent. He can score so well, but you got to make it easier for him.
That's what I'm saying.
Work so hard.
Yeah, you got to run him off some sets. Maybe run him out of the mid post. Get something where he can get some easy baskets, where he's not working to get those baskets. I feel
they
like
try. They tried.
That's what I was going to say. This is game
they
three.
Tried.
Maybe
they
game one.
They did try. They were blitzing them. They were blitzing them. That's why there was all these open threes, right? Because they were like, we're going to live and die. They did try getting. But the problem is Ingram. He's not working off the ball well, right? So he's like, what I mean by that, he's not coming off screen hard, and he's not running lanes hard to get some rhythm on fast breaks. He's just kind of waiting to get
the ball.
Yeah, that's not even him bringing up the ball. How many turnovers do you have? He did about three turnovers just trying to bring up the ball, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're trying to get him the ball. The problem is, he's not playing within the scheme that they have.
And he's not playing well, period.
No, and they're blitzing him. They blitzed him. They sent two guys at him at the first, I think it was the third quarter in the first quarter. And he had looks in the first quarter.
He's playing with his head, too.
And he's not playing with any energy. Like, even in this home game, you would think he'll be like, you know, first of all, he's always that nonchalant, you know, calm move, slow moving type flow type player. But this game, and you're coming off two bad games, you got to come with the energy at some point, run down the court, motivate your player, like do something. But he just looks like he doesn't care. I'm not saying he doesn't, but the turnovers tells me a lot. He had a lot of turnovers. I didn't look at the box score, but when I was watching it, I saw a turnover and lazy turnovers. So, like, mentally,
Merrill. Against Wade and Merrill.
Yes.
That's another thing. Wade and Merrill. Take that in.
Oh, man. That's
an elite defender on him.
Agreed. So, like, we can blame the coach for.
He took. He was 5 for 9 today.
So I was going to say, I'm blaming the coach for some of it. I'm not saying all of it. I'm blaming him for some of it.
He was 5 for 9, but two of those buckets were like the last garbage time, last 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and he hit 1-3 in the last like 2 minutes of the game. So
now, like, do you think that this game that he had today in part was involved with the comments he made, because he took a lot of heat on social media? So he was playing with a heavy heart, or just worrying. There's some players that don't care about what's going on that could just lock in, and some players that just worry about what everyone's saying.
You got rabbit ears.
He got destroyed. He got destroyed over the last few days since our last game because of the comment about what did he say exactly?
Overrated, the most overrated player.
No, just about him getting 9 shots.
You wanted 9
about the shots, the offense. He was kind of throwing the game plan out under the bus,
Okay, you know? So just before game one, you heard what happened. Like they nominated him as the most overrated player. Bias Pierce, and he was pissed about that. Because he made comments like when they were asking him in the media, and he was saying like, I wasn't expecting him to have these type of comments. I thought he would be like, whatever, it's just what he said. He said something like, social media is a joke. Like, you know, I don't take that. He was just, it looks like he was in his feelings. Mm. I thought in game one, he was going to come out and show the world So I actually liked it. I was telling Calvin around, I actually like this because he's going to come on game one and show the world, like, I'm not the most overrated. I'm the best. And he totally lived up to that overrated label. So he might be, as you said, Jen, not a guy that can handle the heat. I don't know what his past history in playoff play. I don't know what teams has he gone far with in the playoffs. But the point is, it's showing he's not that guy. He's not that. It's showing. Because game one, you can say one game. You can say two games. But three straight games, unless there's something else going on behind the scenes that we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we don't know about. Fair enough.
That comment happened, I was going to say, before game one. Right? Yes, game two, he came back. He had 15 shots in game two.
Yeah,
was that bad, right? And then this script, he was lost again. And he came out in the first quarter trying to get shots, right? Most of his shots, like you said, Jan, he had what, 9 shots? Most of his shots, if you look at the shot chart, was in the first quarter.
Well, hold on though. Isn't that worrisome though, that a 10-year vet is getting knocked off by overrated comments from his peers?
It is worrisome.
You're 10 years in the game, man. Like, at this point, that shouldn't be a
fact. Listen, man.
Not to that degree. If this is what's happening, not to that degree.
Everyone is different. Everyone's different. Everyone's background is different.
I hear you, Dan. I hear you. Like,
the game is different. Remember, social media, everyone's piping off. Everyone has a comment. Everyone,
I hear you.
You know, as an opinion, sorry. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's the playoffs. So the microscope is like on you. And so if you can handle all the lights and all, like, even though it's not a primetime game in the sense of everyone's still watching. And so if you're either doing well or you're not. And so I just feel like it's a game within the game. You know what I'm 100%. Saying? There's so much going on. So it's like, if you don't have a proper, like, good circle, a good routine, a good structure or process to lead you to the game, you know, you're in the twilight zone as the game starts. You know what I'm saying?
But I will say that he you know, the one silver lining to him playing bad is they're still shading towards him and concentrating on him as the main focal point, which is opening up more room. That's why he, like, I think someone was alluding in our chat, Jules and C, that, you know, he just was running to the corner. Yeah, he was running to the corner and he was attracting kind of help, right? Which allowed others to go off.
Others to get off, yeah.
Ready to go off, and
So if he sits in the corner and they're concentrating on him in the corner, I'm okay with that. I'm not saying that's good for him. I'm not saying that's good for him, guys. I'm saying that if the results are that we can win games, this brand of basketball because of that.
Look,
game four is going to tell the tale of the series, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Game four is, it's like, you know, it's all or nothing really for Toronto in the sense of they have to win this game four in order to sustain competitiveness in the series. Because I think if Cleveland wins game four, going back to Cleveland, they haven't figured out that, especially with the Harden. You know,
it's done. It's over if they lose game four.
Well, I'm thinking that if they get anything out of Ingram at this point, like, even if he gives you like 20, if he gives you 25, I think it's a good shot the Raptors win, and it now becomes the better series if he finally snaps out of it.
I agree.
If he's in this funk still, where, because I feel like I'm harping on Ingram because I know it might not sound like I like him to some people. I do like him. I really do like his game. I had him on my fantasy team for like the last 3-4 years, but I'm like, I do like his talent, but his temperament has always been something that if you watch, it's always been a little sketchy. And I don't mean like knucklehead stuff. I just mean more in terms of like he'll have those down moments. Like, he's kind of moody. You'll see it in his body language when shit ain't going right. You know what I mean? Like, I always remember when he was on Team USA. I still don't know the story with that to this day, but he just didn't play I think it was when, it was just recently. I think it was when Team Canada, it was the World Championships, when Team Canada came in third and they had the bronze medal game. He didn't play. He just decided that he wasn't going to play in it.
Oh, wow. It's like,
that's weird. That's a weird mentality to have at this stage. Because again, I know he's 28 years old, but you've been in this for 10 years, man. So there's a certain protocol.
He is who he is. I just want to point out again, it's telling to what you're saying, Jan, and it's telling what you're saying, Calvin, that at 28, he still hasn't controlled his approach to the game. After that first game, he played poorly. He blamed the coaches, right? He blamed everybody.
Yeah.
He's been traded multiple times. And what did I tell you? Not to get into the inside information, but with my brother, when you see a player traded all the time, there's something mentally that they don't like. They may be great on the ice or on the court, but as a team leader, the locker room, off the court, off the ice issues, something's going on that the public just doesn't know. Because Ingram is talented, right? We can all agree he's talented. Yeah,
for sure.
He's been traded how many times? Three times?
Twice.
Yeah, Lakers, New Orleans, Toronto, yeah.
But for somebody of that stature and elite level, shouldn't be traded that, like, be looking to. And for New Orleans, they traded him for nothing, basically. Well, not first round, and Olenek and whatever from Toronto. But my whole point is that I don't think he is. It's still early. Well, it's not. He's 28, but still early for his for this playoff season or playoff career, because we haven't seen much of him in the playoffs. But it doesn't look like he's that guy.
It's a unique situation too that he's been in the league for 10 years and this might be like his second playoffs, that's a weird situation, because it's like you're learning on the ropes, but you're like, you're a vet still, but then you're also 28, so like you're in your quote-unquote prime, so it's like a weird clusterfuck that he's in.
Making your team better. Like, he should be able to bring a team to a playoff, like, at least first round, right? He's talented enough to make players around him better, right? To get to the first round. And he hasn't really been a playoff guy, like, to the teams he's gone to. So that tells you, too, he's not making the team he made Toronto better this year. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But
this might have been the first season he's really been that guy and made everybody better and brought the team to the playoffs.
Was it him?
Previous nine seasons.
But was it him or was it Scotty?
That too. Well, you know what? It was
like
the variables.
Well, I look at him as a scorer. I look at Scotty as more the guy who makes everyone around him better.
Correct. But it allows Scotty to make everyone better. Like, Ingram is more of that finisher, right? That guy that want to put the ball in the hand in the last 10 seconds to win the game. We never had that, right?
No.
So they kind of complement themselves. I think they complement themselves so Barnes can get the ball to him. Sorry, go ahead, John.
I just think I think Ingram puts everyone in their positions on this team, in their right positions to do what they can do. Yeah, I think especially Ingram, Ingram and Barnes. Barnes is like a switchblade. Whatever you need, he could give. But he's playing on both ends. He's giving energy, and he plays hard. His outside shooting is getting better. His package is getting better. So it's only getting better. I say it's up to Ingram. The player always has control, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the narrative is right now, it doesn't matter. He has control. And the opportunity to take control of the narrative for game four. He doesn't have to have a 25 piece. He just has to have an aggressive game, maybe 20. But being aggressive, getting to the foul line, and doing what he does.
Making an impact on the game.
Yes, impact, yeah. Winning basketball. I think the problem is he's not experiencing the playoffs enough, so he's still adjusting to getting all the attention on him offensively, double teams, everything coming at him. He's still trying to figure it out, so he has to do some film. He's got to do some soul searching at the same time
and some yoga. Some mental clarity. He needs some clarity.
But the thing about it, guys, is the big three all. I'm going to say this over and over. The big three all occupy the same space. If Archie was lucky to hit 6 of 8, that's not a norm.
No, you're correct. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's hard because they all operate in the same space. So somebody has to suffer out the big three. They can't all get that attack and get 30 points a game.
Question for you guys. What do you think of Poeltl?
Oh, that's another person that needs...
Well, today he played better.
He played a lot better today.
But, he played a lot better, but like...
I, He's injured.
He's a step slow behind the play.
Something's off.
Yeah, because his hands, he didn't have great hands, so don't get me wrong, but his hands are horrible. His hands are horrible now, my brother.
You beat me too. I was like, yo, what is this guy?
He can't even touch the ball. Like, you he
can't even jump for a rebound. You see,
he doesn't even dunk. But you're right. But Randall, to your point too, he's not even like contesting shots, jumping for rebounds. Like, he can't jump, but he's not even jumping. But his hands are horrible now.
I think it has to be his back. He doesn't have the mobility.
He doesn't have the mobility in his back.
But he just doesn't have it. But they solidified this guy. So I'm thinking.
You know, the drop off doesn't make sense.
I know you need a good center. He's a good player. But I was just like, whoa. I saw this guy. They're trying to throw a lob to him. I was like, whoo.
This guy's
got the heebie jeebies in the playoffs? Come on now.
He's been in the playoffs.
But him today was. It helped neutralize their bigs, because there were times when we went big that it worked and kind of sustained things. Because in the last two games, their bigs were just getting wherever they want at work.
And they still are. Even this game, they did. They were getting
not as bad as the other ones.
Yeah, but you can tell that we lack size.
We lack size. Oh yeah.
Right, and obviously. Pirtle being our main big man, and he's not where we want him or we need him to be. Once you remove him off the court, CMB is playing well, but he lacks size too. Tipping rebounds 2-3 times over CMB, and not to put any blame on him, but CMB's playing out of position on top of that.
Oh yeah,
we don't
this
have
one. Okay. Here's this: Pirtle had 8 points and 6 rebounds. Okay.
Yeah.
2 assists and 4 fouls.
CMB had
22 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 turnovers. So it's interesting. I think Pirtle's effective if he's doing like a double double. If he can give you a double double, then he's providing his value. But if he's not doing that, I think he's hurting you. So I don't think he should be playing as long as he is. He's not playing a lot.
Go check out his minutes. He's not playing a lot of minutes. As Randall said, he played better.
18 minutes.
He plays in between 15 and 18 minutes. He starts the game. He does not end the game, right? He starts the game, and then I think he comes in, you know, towards the beginning of the second. Then he's off for a long stretch typically. He comes at the end of the third, and then he maybe start the fourth, and he's done. And the start in the fourth is very, very, very like slim. I think last game he didn't even play the fourth, right, Jules?
No, I don't think
so. He didn't. Not at all. No, he didn't.
And we need somebody of his size, because Mobley and Allen, they're not the most physical big men.
No,
but they're long. They're long, and they're getting offensive rebounds easily because we have nobody in the paint. So it showed that we definitely have a huge hole. And we need to fill that in the years to come.
There's not even – that's my point. And we talked about this earlier, that they didn't even look to get through trade, a backup.
They did look.
They couldn't get anybody.
We actually brought in somebody at the deadline.
From Golden State.
So they did look. So obviously, because we brought him in. But the point is
– he's like an undersized big anyway.
He's undersized too.
But he's not a rebounder.
100%.
Rebounder, shot blocker? I don't know.
Yeah. I think he's more of a rebounder. Yeah. Mix it up.
Energy
guy.
Rebounder type guy.
I said this the last pod, I think he should be in at least for a few minutes in the game. I'm not saying he has to play 20 minutes. No, I'm not being crazy, but like
he can
get 10 minutes in a series like this. You just need the size.
I agree.
And you got to relieve Scotty and CMB. Like, honestly, you got to relieve them from being undersized the whole time. Like, they got to get a little relief from that. I'm thinking, like, yo, free Trace, man. You got to give him at least 10 minutes. Give him 10 minutes.
Yep.
10 hard minutes. It will work.
You did say that. You did say that last part.
With that said, though, what are your thoughts on CMB, a.k.a. We All We Got? What were your thoughts on him tonight?
He was great, man.
I think he's in a perfect role coming off the bench because he just come and just impact the game. More run and gun. they're more mobile. He can switch on defense and cover everybody and move around. And then he spreads the floor because he can shoot, but he's very aggressive. I love such an upside in a young man.
Such he doesn't shoot the three, Jan. He doesn't shoot the three.
No, he doesn't
shoot. I know, but like the threat of it. You know what I'm saying?
He's not even that. He does not shoot. They were sagging off him. You know how many times they were sagging? You saw that, right? How many times do you turn around and was like, oh, shoot, I'm free. I'm open. Yeah. That's why
he kept shooting. The possibility of his game evolving, like that's the next evolution.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Even when he was getting drafted, that was his knock, right? He was working on his shot. And that was his thing. They were like, he's improved his three-point percentage, but – at college, right? And you know how it is, right? And it's a different in the league. And
he'll get it in the years to come. But I'm impressed with his, again, we talked about the mental focus that he had. He came to the game for a rookie in a playoff game. The way I think he set check it out.
No, he did. He set the record for rookie points in a playoff game.
That's like it's beyond.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he set the record for.
Is it for a rookie off the bench or
no? Just rookie period.
Doesn't matter. Period.
For the Raptors. Oh,
wow. For the playoffs.
He set the Raptor record for points in a game. But for him to do that, you know, his minutes have been limited throughout the season, and he started off slow. And to see his evolution to today. And to do that in a playoff game, in a must-win game, and he looks poised on the floor. Like we just talked about Pirtle fumbling the ball. He's not fumbling the ball. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, he's ready for the moment.
He's like a man, like a man's man. Like, you know, so I'm more than impressed how he was attacking the rim today, Randall. I don't know if you saw. When he got the ball, he actually went to the hoop and looking for contact.
I owe you something because
beginning
of the season, I remember what I said because I gotta apologize because at the beginning of the season I was really critical on his defense.
Yes,
his defense was real good today.
But what did I say? He's known for his defense,
right? And I was critical.
We didn't draft him for shooting threes, scoring buckets. We drafted him because he can cover. They said he was like a Draymond Green. Not a Draymond Green, but that's how they envision him to be one day. To kind of cover the 3, 4, 5 position at times and to be that glue guy, that tough guy, that guy that can handle the rock, make the right passes. So that's where they hope for him to be a shell of Draymond Green, not to be a Draymond Green.
Right.
And he's showing it. He's literally showing it in his first year. So it's kudos to the scouting team. I have to say that because nobody saw this, and it shows that he has a high ceiling, a potential to be a starting power forward or three.
But the problem is now, how does he fit with Scotty? Because Scotty, I think, is better as a four. I like him playing.
Correct, but it's better to have these problems. It's better to have these issues. Yeah. And we can work it by making trades or whatever, right? So, but CMB is the future.
He's you know what? The Draymond comparisons, you can actually see that tonight. Some of the stuff he did. It was like a small ball outside of the passing.
Yeah.
Sorry? Yeah.
Like a small center that can handle the rock at the top of the key, play defense, be that glue guy, make plays. Not fumbling the ball, just make plays, make the right plays. Defense. Did you see the block that he had on Jared Allen? That was unbelievable. Like, I thought that was amazing. Like, for him to even contest it.
Yeah, he's competing. You
know? And that steal, he had a couple steals too.
I think his best attributes. Obviously, you take whatever he gives you offensively. He has a good knack offensively, but I think he fits them better defensively. Because of the switching and all that, and then they can just run and gun. Right. They get fill the lane.
Right.
Once they get that stop, they just ram it down your throat.
Right.
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 So he's probably our toughest guy. He's probably our toughest guy. Like our guy that can go into the paint and take bodies down with him. We have nobody like that. And every team needs a guy like that where other players are afraid of. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're too soft. Like the knock against Cleveland is that they're too soft. They don't have that.
Yes.
No. That's the yes. knock.
You and saw when Harden is back in?
Yeah, did you see it? I don't know if you guys saw. Mitchell ran right.
Mitchell, right into
his chest, and he dropped. And
oh yeah.
Yeah. Even CMB was like, "All he did, he was like, 'Does he hit my chest?'" And he stayed down there. So like, the point is that he's physically, not just mentally strong. He's physically strong in his first year in the league. So you can only imagine in 2-3 years, only with the confidence he'll come in next year. The strength. Oh man, so it looks great for the Raptors and CMB, and he looked well today. Calvin looked amazing.
Yeah, he was plus 21 on the plus minus scale today, which says a lot. And you know what? A guy like him he's valued on any team, really and truly, if he's going to play like that, right? You'll find minutes for him somewhere, because you always need that, like they call it the fuck him up guy that comes in and just fucks shit up. And just mucks up the game, plays defense, hustles. And he had a big presence on the offensive rebounds. You know what I mean? Like, and especially with those bigs in the paint. Like, it was huge, some of the boards he got. And it's funny because I was looking at him play today, and I'm like, you know what? To me, and maybe this is an early nomination, but I think he's graduated into that fan favorite category. Because, you know, in this city, like, as much as the city's growing, you know, it's Toronto's got a lot of love for blue collar figures. You know what I'm saying? From hockey, baseball. We love that guy that brings his lunch pail to work and grinds it out. You know what I mean? Plays with a lot of heart, plays with a lot of spirit. The crowd gravitates to that every single time, especially playoff crowds. Like once you do it in the playoffs, you're basically not paying for much meals in the city after that. People love you. You know what I mean? And JYD is probably the best example of that. Like this guy still comes to Toronto to this day. And still gets all the love, right? Just because of how hard he played. And, like, I'm willing to nominate CMB to that, like, to this point tonight. Because I'm like, how do you not love a guy that plays that hard, especially as a rookie? Like, what he did today was so impressive, man. He should – honestly, he should be able to get any oxtail meal on Eglinton Avenue, straight up. You know what I mean? Allen's Patties, he's got them all, man. But I'm like – but to my point, I'm like, he's really – like to me, I'm like that game like this is what makes the city fall in love with you. This particular city anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like just with all the, and you know, the from the hockey town mentality to the multiculturalism and all the different cultures and you know, the hard scrabble from, you know what I'm saying? Like all of that kicks in with the city and he's fitting that mold just the way he plays. Like you got to love that. Mm-hmm. You got to love how he was moving tonight. I love that. I love that from him today, man. It was awesome. And that's what you need. Like
that's what we needed.
There's always room for a player like that on your team. You know what I mean? Always room for that. But I guess to close off in a minute though, what are your predictions for game four? What are your thoughts? Start with you, Jan. Okay. Sorry.
Of course. I think Toronto wins it. I think they even the series out. I'm going to call it Toronto wins it, but they have to win it. I think, well, you see, my thing is the adjustments, and I'm not a firm believer of Darko as a coach in the playoffs. For like, there's a game plan, and then there's adjustments during the game, and I find it's all or nothing. Cal, you know this. We had a coach at Ryerson that was all or nothing. The game plan. God bless him, but like all or nothing. And then like, it was just like, before the game will start, we're against the refs, the players, and then the coach, right? Yep. So it was just interesting to see how things unfold. And it's all about the adjustments. Mm-hmm. If he can find some good offense in the half court, they got a fighting chance.
And you said it again. We were fighting against the coach. I know me personally, I was rejecting pretty much everything he said. But Julian, you go ahead.
Yeah, no. It's going to be, to Jan's point, with adjustments, it's going to be interesting to see what Cleveland does to adjust to game three. So, but I really feel – so it all depends. Well, there's a lot of factors, but – I don't know. Well, we didn't touch on it, but Cleveland didn't play well either. No, Mitchell did not play well. He did not even look like if he was involved, like if he cared. It felt like he came into this game like it was a game to lose because we're up to, if we win, we win. Like he didn't have like, I'm going to kill them and get game three. So I think he's going to come out in game four. And I think if he comes out shooting and hit playing well and played like how he did in game one and two, Cleveland will win. Cleveland will win. But so I don't know who's going to show up in game four. So my heart is with Toronto, but I think Cleveland will win because Mitchell decides to actually play.
And so if he plays like the best player on the floor, then it's going right. to be a hard, it's going to be a hard, because he had 15 today, 7 for 16. Harden had 18, 5 for 13. Mobley had 15, 4 for 13. Allen had 12, 5 for 7, and then D-Wade 5 points, 2 for 5, right?
Right.
That's not a normal Harden. It's Mitchell. Not. No,
Mitchell was I think the Vegas line for me and Randall because we play well. We look at the prop lines. It was like 31. Like yeah. Mitchell was expected to hit like 30 points, like 29, yeah. 30 points. He only had 16. And if you watch the game, you can see he had no energy.
No. Yeah,
he wasn't even demanding the ball. You know, in the first two games, when he had the ball, I was like, what is he going to do? Penetrate, kick out, draw. He just had the ball and he dished it off. And
it's almost like because they won the first two games, his margin for error.
That's the mindset, right? That's
the mindset. Like, I'm going to go to a party tonight. You know what I mean? I'll chill. Maybe go to a party Friday and then I'm going to lock in Sunday afternoon.
You got a cushion. Yeah,
with a lot of mileage on you in the playoffs, right? You're chucking up all these shots. You're playing like they played heavy minutes in game one and two, even with the blowout. Like you know, towards the end of the game, they still played a lot. But you're right. Maybe it was some of Lady Luck, man. Maybe she threw a party and the sea legs weren't under them, right?
Maybe not.
You can see it. You can tell they didn't have the same energy. You can tell, right? Yeah. So, but anyhow, they didn't have the same energy, and it was still close. Don't forget, it looked like a large margin, but it was actually close, tied in the third quarter, fourth until quarter. You look at the fourth quarter, I think that's where we outscored them by like 15 some odd points.
No, 21-2 run.
There you go. Yeah. So it was close, and they weren't even playing well. And we were playing, battles hitting 4 for 4, threes.
Yeah that's how true.
How do we get a guy who barely plays come off the bench and hit 4 for 4 from threes? Like, that's, I'm not saying it's luck. Well, it is luck. Fuck, so I'll say it. I love that.
He's done it.
He's a best 3-point shooter. But to go 4 for 4 off the bench, come on. Nobody expected that coming. No. Right? So,
how does Grady feel right now?
I know.
You know what? Battle, Walter. Yo, they even had. What's our boy Lawson from
AJ?
The G League come up and he's in a rotation before Grady.
Yeah, like, he goes for defensive purposes. Yeah,
but he's a scorer too. Though he is for defense, but he's a scorer. He's not afraid to go. He can put the ball on the floor basically.
Yeah,
get to the hoop. Right? Well, but anyhow, my last point is I think Cleveland is going to win because I think Mitchell is going to come back and realize like he needs to do more. The cushion is gone. If we lose this, it's going to be tied. And I think, I hate to say, I think it ends in 5. And I'm a Raptor guy. I think it ends in 5. But that's my
thought. I'm going to call you a bastard because I feel like you stole my points. But I'm going to be positive and just be like, we're like this. Because that's honestly, like my notes, I'm looking at my notes here when I was writing down, like halfway through the, not halfway, at the end of the third quarter, they're up 83, Raptors up 83-81. And to me, I looked at, I was looking at my notes here, and I'm just like, man, I'm like, this is not a good tell that like Harden and Mitchell aren't playing well, and it's only a 2-point game. Now it became a blowout in the fourth quarter. Like I said, the Raptors went 43; they won that quarter 43-23, so that's what pushed the game out. But the fact that they were pretty much in that game and it was equal scoring, it didn't look like Mitchell had a ton of energy, or he was just playing like a regular season game today because he was like saving his legs for Sunday. It looked like. And you know, Harden had decent numbers, but like there wasn't no like instant kill mode like it was those first two games. You know what I mean? And I'm like, the fact that you look at the Raptors, everything was falling right for them. You know, you had Battle coming in the fourth quarter, hit all those threes. CMB was playing hard. Barrett was scoring. I mean, both him and Barnes had 33, which is awesome. I'm just being honest. I don't expect them to score 33 and another game like that together. So the fact that all that was going on, normally in that situation, that's a 20-point. They're up 15-20 in the third quarter. It's not a 2-point game. So that's what makes me nervous about going into the game before, because Mitchell, I mean, people can say what you want, but I mean, he's a damn good player. He's going to come back at some point.
I'm calling a big Ingram game on game four. I'm calling it.
Okay. I hope so. Before you go around, one point.
I
want to give a shout out to RJ Barrett. Yes. Barrett through game one, two, and three has played at a phenomenal level, consistent level with heart. He's getting to the line, Randall, as you're saying. He's playing with grit. He's getting the other guys, trying to get them going. Like, he's yelling at guys, and he's played well. So he's another guy that it's not the CMB and the Battle, the starters, him and Barnes, but RJ is one that's pretty much leading us right now.
Yeah, he's
competing.
He's competing.
He's competing against Mitchell and Harden.
Yes, he is. Yeah, so I got to give him hats off to that.
He's taken over Ingram's role.
Yeah, but he has. He has.
And done a better job.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't actually mention, too. Do we really miss Quickly that badly? Do we miss him that much?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes, you do.
It looks like it, though. I didn't think so. But now I think so.
You know what? I'll say this. Like I said the last pod, we miss him because he's a starter. But in terms of a point guard, do we miss him? Not really.
But he can push the ball. He can make Harden work.
Right? Yes.
We didn't need a point guard. We don't need a point guard, right? The strategy of the game, like today, I mean, remember I said on the last podcast, right? See, I said if you switch out, Shed should not be starting. He's not a starter. And when we switched it out, I said put in Walter. At least he stretches the floor and he can move, right? And he can guard, right? And he played decent the first half on defense. Right?
He got yanked in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, it was the right start.
It was better to start. Well, they lost the first two games, so you got to switch. You got to change something up. But he got two quick fouls on Mitchell. Two quick fouls. And he got yanked in the first. He didn't play much.
But here's his line. He had 0 points, 0 for 6.
Oh, he didn't have a good game. He did not have a good game.
No, but he came back on defense.
No. I think Walter's the right guy to start, so I'm not even disagreeing with you. Agreed. I'm just saying this is not – the proof that we want to use today.
But I mean,
I think we missed Quickly just for the rotation. I'm just saying he pushes the ball. He's not a guy that distributes the ball, but I think he can push the ball up to make Harden work. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Harden guards him, he has to run. Harden's not the same guy. He's 30 something years old. Right. And Quickly could actually make him try to burn him out a bit,
But Quickly is good at his best factor is that he gets into the paint, right? And it's either he has a good floater, right? That's where he's dangerous. When he's in the paint doing it, and then if he's hitting the shot, then wow, you'll take that as a bonus. But when he's doing that floater game, so yes, he is missed. You know what I'm saying?
And you're right. That's the last point. That is another good point. His shot. We went small at one point. We went small, and we had only one shooter on the floor. How do you go small and not have any shooters really on the floor?
We don't have
any. You know what I'm saying? What's that? I can't remember. I was looking at the lineup. I'm like, we don't have a pure shooter.
But his thinking is I have grit defensively.
Yeah, I know.
Our best offense is our defense, so we're going to get that stop. And we're going
to. I agree. And he's dealing with the players that was constructed by the GM. So I'm not even mad at the coach, whatever. Radical, whatever. I'm just saying to myself as an observation, we have to go small because we don't have any, we don't have bigs really. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking at the floor. We're small and we can't even shoot. It's crazy.
Oh, that was the lineup when RJ was out. Remember, I was telling you, I was like, this is bad because we didn't have any.
I can't remember who the, anyhow, but anyhow.
Yeah. No, I would say again with Quickly, ideally, I'm not saying you need a pass first point guard, but there's certain the way the Raptors are playing, they're working really hard to score. And I don't mean just because the other teams playing really good defense. I mean, like, you're looking at them and it's like, Jesus Christ, it's like, it's looking, they're not getting anything easy. You know what I mean? And at some point you need somebody to like, just to control the room for at least a few minutes of critical points.
He doesn't, you know, do that. So quickly.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm like, we don't, in that aspect, we don't miss him. Yeah. Because he's not gonna add anything to that box. But in terms of just because he's a starter, you know what I mean? Like, you would need him out there.
Yeah.
Sure. But I feel like the Raptors need somebody out there just to control certain aspects of the game for a few minutes and just have, you know, get guys in proper sets, get them going, and just get something that's a little easier. You know what I mean?
He's another shooter. He's one of our best 3-point shooters. Right. Yes. So we need that. We do miss it, Randall. Yeah. And we do miss his scoring. He can score.
He's scoring
12 points. And we miss those things because, as C just mentioned, we're finding it very difficult to score. We're doing ISO ball. We're doing like Barnes backing in way or do what. That's how we're scoring and we're getting right. So we miss the scoring.
But we miss his scoring, but there's also downfalls to his game as well.
Oh, 100%. Oh, I'm not. Oh, yeah.
100%. And I don't know. And I'm being honest with you. I don't know if him coming in shifts the tide of winning the series at all. Like, I think it just adds an element that they need, but I don't.
Yes.
I think they're going to lose anyway. Like,
to your point,
if they lose in six, they're not going to seven.
To your point, before the series started, I actually said to myself, not having quickly, it may not be a bad thing. That's what I had that thought.
Oh, yeah.
Much a better, as you said, Jen, against Cleveland versus the Knicks. I think this was a better matchup for us. And I thought, we have Shed and Walter. Walter was playing very well going into the playoffs. So I said to myself, losing him may not be that bad. But now, after seeing the first two games and we're losing poorly and we won game three, now I'm saying, you know what? We are missing something. We are missing another shooter on the floor, another rotational player. We're missing him scoring, right?
Yeah.
Because outside of Ingram, who's not scoring, Ingram is our, you can argue with me, Ingram is our best scorer, and our second best scorer could be quickly, who could score. RJ, maybe. RJ. We're losing our third scorer then. And that's a huge hole now. I'm realizing it, especially as a rotational player, a starter. He's a starter.
Yeah. And I mean, he does, like, to Jan's point, he does get in the paint. That's how he gets his assist, right? He's kind of like Ala Harding, where he gets in the paint and he dishes it out, or he gets in the paint. He draws a lot to him. But, there's also that, I'm not sure, I haven't looked at the stat, but from my recollection of watching games, he also, like, he takes bad shots. He can really sway games. Yeah, he's erratic with momentum busters, right? Like, when things are going well, he won't look for the hot guy. He'll take the shot.
Correct.
Like, with three guys on him. Yeah.
He's not consistent.
Turn over the ball a lot, But, they do need that extra guard.
They do.
And I hate to rag on Shed because I do like him, but he's just not that guy to sustain a playoff basketball, run the show. He's just not.
That's above me. It's above
me. And honestly, like you said, like the strategy today was okay because, I didn't mind Barnes because it was a mismatch with Barnes bringing up the ball. So it didn't really affect, anything major because they didn't have a guard guarding him. They had a big guarding him. So he could bring up the ball and, whether it was going one-on-one with him or setting something up, I didn't really mind it today because the pace was going, right?
Yeah,
I like the pace and I like the physicality they had, even for being small, Jules. I like on defense, they're very physical. That's what I think wore them down early, right? Just keep banging and banging and being physical. They had a lot of fouls in the first quarter.
And the speed, both it, yeah.
Right. They had a lot of fouls in the first quarter. I think they were in bonus quick because they're just being physical and strong and excited. You could see that they're excited.
They were in the bonus with like 3 or 4 minutes to go in the first quarter. Or was it the second quarter? First quarter, both.
They fouled a lot. Barnes was in foul trouble. Ingram was in foul trouble, right? Even RJ was in foul somewhat, like had 3 fouls, I think, in the first half.
I was gonna say, just to wrap, man. I wanted to see where you guys would want to talk about for the next like minute or two before we wrap. we got the Portland Trail Blazers situation with the new owner. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
Yeah. No, he's making cuts.
Yeah.
He's making budget cuts.
Did you guys want to talk about this?
What happened?
Or did you want to talk about Diana Russini?
Man, leave that. Leave them alone, man.
Yo, that situation is something's coming down. It's going wild. But we'll talk about Portland for a minute, though. I mean, you're not making it conducive. I mean, Portland's kind of like Toronto. Sorry, let me phrase that. It is like it's probably worse than Toronto in terms of trying to get free agents to get there. Right. The only thing that's there is Nike. Right. Mm-hmm. And to have an owner that's already cheapening out, like he just got the team 5 minutes ago. How are you cutting costs to this degree? Like have you even opened the books yet? Like how is it this?
All I know that he's cut that I just saw a headline. And usually when you make the playoffs, you bring like a few guys from the G League, like you bring young guys with you for the experience. They come out playing. So that's what most teams do. And every sport does that. Yeah. So I just read that he said no, like just like the 12 man crew's going, all them other rookies or who's not playing, who's not going to see the floor, they're not coming on the plane. That's the only thing I saw that was cut. Yeah. Like I know there's plenty more other things, but I don't know, Calvin, do you have a list of things?
I don't have the list in front of me. I could look it up right quick.
I just heard that he's not doing the shirts. I thought that was very tacky and like it's about the fans.
Oh, really? For the crowd, for the
you can't like it's the first playoff game in such a long long time, but in a while. And Dame's not there. It's a whole new generation, and you're presenting a new team to the audience with we haven't forgotten what happened with what's his name. The scandal with his name escapes him right now, but like you know what I'm saying, so a lot of positive things are happening with all that chaos, and then you're doing this, it just looks, it comes off bad, and it comes off distasteful, and it comes off disingenuous, you know what I'm saying? So
to your point too, when you make the playoffs, this is when you make money. You know what I'm saying? This is when they're in the profit. They're in the green.
You gotta give in order to receive, man.
You know what I'm saying? You know? It's not like they're out the playoffs. They're making money now. So they're not paying the players now. Everything that comes in is in their pockets. So this is...
Think of it this way. I'm gonna tie it all together. Ryerson, we won the first ever championship at Ryerson. And we went to Nationals. And the president took us out for dinner the whole week. We didn't pay no money. Right, took us out. He said the amount of national attention we got is in the millions just from being there. Now, that's just a small scale of Canadian basketball. Now, this is the NBA. You're in the playoffs. You're playing against
Wemby.
San Antonio. Yeah. Wemby. The world is going to be watching. This is an opportunity to make good money. Take care of your fans.
Yeah.
So he didn't put t-shirts on the seats. That's what happened.
They're saying they're not doing. The last I checked, they're not doing that.
They're not doing it.
To save money.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just worse. Cheap. Like trainers, like staff, like it's bad.
Yo, here's the one of them though, because he's the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes. Right. And he did the same thing with the Hurricanes, I guess, because it's working. But I'm like, hockey and basketball are two different things. Right. And two completely different sports, literally and figuratively, and especially the way they run business. So one of the things he did is that if you're not a player or a coach, staff's required to check out of hotels by 12:30 p.m. to avoid late fees. the team masseuse was denied a room for pregame treatment. And they said somebody came down during the hotel for one of, and they said there was a bunch of Portland Trailblazers staff in the lobby because they literally had nowhere to go because it was hours before the team bus came, and they had to check out of the room, and like it's pretty wild. They've already been searching for a new coach while Thiago Splitter is still there.
Yes,
they offered Mike Malone, who. Just fresh, you know, like he's been sitting out a year. Right? He went to North Carolina. They said they were going to offer him a deal behind Splitter's back. They were willing to offer him anywhere from $1 to $2 million. So just so you know, the top assistants in the NBA make $1 to $2 million.
I was going to say make that amount. Yeah.
Yeah. He made, I think, Malone at the time when he got fired was making $8 million with Portland. So, and then he went to North Carolina for 7.5. So they were going to, they're willing, I think, actually, no, sorry. They weren't, they're, I think they were going to, no, no, sorry. Let me rephrase that. They're going to give Thiago Splitter. They want to give Thiago Splitter $1 to $2 million. I think Mike Malone was getting offered $4 million, which is like half of what he got at Denver, where he won a title. So this is the stuff that this guy's doing already. And he just, like I said, he just got like majority ownership.
Yeah. He's not even a full owner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like 5 minutes ago. So I'm like, what he's doing. That, I mean, you like, and it's thing, you're an owner, so it's tough for somebody to come in like a silver and be like, look, you can't do this. Like, you can run the team however you want, but I'm like, again, for a friend, if you're a free agent looking at Portland and you know your owner's cheaping out like this, why would I go there? It's Portland.
Players talk to each other.
Of course they do. Of course they do. You're not making it inviting, which is sad because right now they're on a nice little, you know, like a little beginning of a renaissance with some of the guys that they have there and stuff. Like, it's a nice beginning again. The fact they made the playoffs was, you know, it was like, it's pretty shocking. You know what I mean? You got Avia, who's like, he might be an all NBA player, might be, you know, or at least, you know, the high level all-star this year. And you got, you know, Lillard coming back, who was, you know, like a fan favorite and a legend for the team, top 75. You got so much going for you. Why, like this should not be in the news. We should not be hearing about stuff like this.
Yeah. But
it's like you're spreading. It's like you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
And I'm just reading a few things on them because I wasn't familiar with this until you guys told me not all the developments. But it sounds like he's also in a win now mode. So he's doing all these cost cut measures so he could pay players more today. So it's kind of a flip side.
A contradiction.
Yeah. You know? I mean, is it a contradiction if you're giving your players more money and everyone else doesn't?
But you're hurting your. But you're hurting yourself.
You haven't even gotten to the money part yet. It's just not even over.
You know
what I mean? Like
you're not going to know if this is working until 5 years down the road, right?
Exactly.
So you know, so it's going to be interesting to see. Only time will tell. But if players are not happy or seeing like they're not getting their full value, or understand their, you know, when a player understands their worth, they're not going to come. They're not going to want to come. They'll get traded there, obviously, but they're not going to stay. And it'll be just a revolving door.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm like, he's like, it looks like he's like, you know, there's legendary owners in the league, and he is like, he got a poster of Donald Sterling on his wall. That's what it seems like right now.
Like, oh wow,
it's crazy, it's bad. But yo, let's wrap here. But brothers, thank you, man, for doing this episode and hopping on and talking about Game 3 of the Raptors Cavs series on the Ave, man. I appreciate all of you. We got the four corners going right now. I appreciate that.
No, I appreciate to have you. I love talking ball and hearing different perspectives and just trying to learn. Always constantly trying to learn and hear different things. And this is good, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. No doubt. You gonna say something, Randall?
No, I said, you know what? If they lose this series in five, what's gonna change?
That's a good question.
Well, we could talk about it. That'll be the next one. Game 5 will be the next one. We won't be available for Game 4, but Game 5 will be available. So you guys are welcome to come back. And shit, if they lose, we can talk about it.
We'll do it. Let's do it.
All right, sir.
Cool.
Yes, sir. Thank you for checking out the latest edition of the Av Podcast. A special shout out goes out to Jan Michael Nation, Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, and Randall Walter for hopping on and talking about Game 3 of the Raptors-Cavs series that the Raptors won pretty handily, where they're now down 2-1 in the series, with Game 4 happening at Sunday at 1 p.m. Now, didn't need to do an intro for this one for this time, But I still would like to tell you that there are some more episodes coming down the pipeline. Of course, one thing for sure, that this will guarantee a Game 5 post-game pod, which, you know, we're looking forward to at this point. There will not be a Game 4 post-game pod, so don't look out for that one just yet. But Game 5 will be happening, I guess, whenever they announce it. I think it will be probably in the middle of the week. I still got some other episodes coming on the pipeline. And I have a project that I've been working on that has been working on it for a little while that will be reimagined in the next couple of weeks. So I can't wait for you guys to tune into that one, because that's been a pet project of mine for a little while. And I'll get into the story later, but there's something that I'm looking very forward to doing for 2026 and beyond. So looking forward to all of that. Once again, make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons, because Sal Sharav is available wherever you get your podcasts. Hit those 5 stars for me. Uno, dos, tres, cuatros, cinco. Do it. Do it right now. All right. And to check out the OG catalog, make sure you go over to SalSharav.com. Once again, that is SalSharav.com. Check all of them out. The last couple of ones that we've done that's been Raptors-centric, because as you know, of course, they're in the playoffs, so it has to be done. Including the State of the Raptors address that we did about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. Make sure you go back and tune into that one as well. All entertaining. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in as always. For Jan Michael Nation, Julian aka Jules the Commish, and Mr. Randall Walter, this is Cal C. And you just tuned into the latest episode right here on Sal Sharav Radio. Until the next one, we out of here. Please, please, whatever you do, enjoy your weekend. Peace.